Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning with Ask a Windermere Coach. And on occasion, I'll be joined by Nick Hansen, Doug Simcock, and Eric Thompson. On this podcast, we want to talk about how to create great work-life balance and epic customer service in the real estate industry. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and welcome to Ask a Windermere Coach. And this is our coaching podcast where we tackle some of your toughest real estate questions. And we want to provide you with some detailed answers and proven solutions to some of your biggest challenges that we might face today in our industry. And I'm so excited today because I've got my good buddy Miles Turner with me today. Miles, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well. You know, Miles and I, not only does Miles coach with Windermere Coaching, but Miles is also a ninja. How many times have you been through Ninja, Miles?
Three times.
Did you learn something new every time you took it?
Absolutely. Every day. Every day. Every time I open the book, I learn something new.
I love it. Well, Miles is also a good friend of mine. And for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with Miles, you are from Riverside, California. Tell us kind of where that is.
So Riverside is about 60 miles east of LA, 60 miles east of Orange County. We're about 45 minutes from Palm Springs, if that kind of just gives anybody an idea of where we are on the map. It is referred to as the Inland Empire, the Golden Triangle. We're about an hour from everything, the mountains, the water, and the desert.
Yeah, well, I love visiting there. It's a cool place to go. And for our listeners, Miles, you've been in this business for 16 years, right?
16 years. I started off as an intern in this office, and now the managing broker of the office here in Riverside on Merrill.
I love it. And you've got three kids and one on the way.
One on the way, yeah. That's a wrap. That is a wrap.
I love it.
That's a whole separate podcast right there.
Exactly. Well, and so let's talk about the topic we're talking about today. And one of the things I will let all of you know is Miles turns about a transaction a week. I think this year you're going to be in the 50 transactions for the year category. And what I will say is that consistently every year, Miles, you increase because you dial in your processes and your systems. And that's really what we want to talk about today. So a lot of times what we find in this industry, specifically in the market we're in right now, is would you say, Miles, we have sellers that have expectations sometimes that are a little crazy?
Oh, absolutely. I think, what everyone sees right now, they've all got the app on their phone. They're looking at the neighbor's houses and they think that, they can keep pushing the number up and up and up as if there's no ceiling. And they get grandiose ideas of aligning the price that they need. And I put that in quotation marks. To get where they want to go, and they assign that to their house, whether it's supported by the market or not.
Right. Well, and I know that Miles also is a relocation specialist for in his area, and so this particular transaction we're going to talk about today was a relocation transaction, and Miles and I were on a coaching call, and one of the things Miles was talking about, and we find this happen a lot, Miles, is that a lot of times agents will get so tied to the transaction, right? So their mind just gets wrapped around, I got to get the listing. And they let all their principles and all their processes go out the window. And they bring on this this seller that's got an expectation that's not realistic, if you will, according to what the data is saying in the market. What's been your experience in those situations when you've done that? How's that transaction gone for you?
I mean, anytime where I have overpromised in an effort to get the listing, knowing that the market doesn't support it. And I'm not overpromising. I mean, as you always tell me, the market really makes the prices. So, anytime that's happened though, you end up with a seller who makes plans predicated on the information you give them. And when it doesn't happen, the only person they're going to blame is you. It has nothing to do with you because it's the market. But they're going to come to you, which then sullies that current transaction and any chance you have of getting a referral. And when, as we all know, when someone's unhappy with your service, they're going to tell significantly more people than if they were happy with your service, just the way it goes. And when they're sitting there at work and they're complaining to their coworkers about how their house isn't selling, et cetera, there goes all your possible referrals. They just don't go well. I mean, I'll be the first to say that, I mean, like what you brought up, Mike, that, you know, to be clear, I am a person who's very serious about my listing opportunities. You know, I don't, you know, I believe that we only get so many listing opportunities a year, and your ability to capitalize upon those listing opportunities determines how your year is going to play out. And I clear my calendar for most listing days. I have listing appointments, but at that same time, like you said earlier, there are certain things that I will not do. And one of those is abandoning the principles, over promising, you know, a seller a price that's not realistic. You know, and because I'm not going to let go of the professionalism just to have them sign the listing agreement, buy the listing is what, you know, we usually refer that,
right.
That
right.
As I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say I haven't done it in the past, just to be quite clear and be candid,
yeah.
But it's gone so poorly and I've learned my lesson. I will not continue to do it as I move forward in my career.
Right. Well, and I think this particular situation is you do phenomenally well with your success on getting relocation listings. You know, let's face it, you go on a relocation consultation and you do really, really well. And I remember this specifically, we were having this conversation. You said, hey, I went on this consultation and the husband really likes me, right?
That was the case.
But you were getting a weird vibe from the wife.
I was. I mean, and you've trained me quite well to pay attention to everyone's body language. Anytime somebody gets quiet, there's a reason that they've sort of stepped out of the conversation. And I had that vibe from her energy around pricing. And that would have been the time where I would have let go of all my, you know, principles and just put a higher number on it. But I wanted to be realistic where the market is. And by the time that you've gone through Trend Graphics, the pond, and the local comparables, typically the market has spoken. And long story short, I mean, we left on great terms. I added value in that presentation. I had the title company map a section. They found out they had a couple acres they didn't know about once I had it mapped. So, you know, really, we had a great overall consultation. And, you know, as the other agents came and interviewed, the RMC reached out to me and, you know, said, you know, the seller really liked you. They just have a question. Is there any way that this home might be worth more than where you valued it? I said, well, if we're going to go back and look at the Trend Graphics, they're getting 101 at 102% on average list price. So possibly, yes. He said, well, we were kind of thinking more in the range of $80,000 more than where you valued.
Wow, okay.
And when you get that call, you pretty much know that, you know, they're looking, once you say no, that that's the end of it. But I let them know, no. I said, I wish I could tell you it was. I don't make the prices. I said, I went through a significant amount of market information and that's what's currently supported. And, you know, I can send that over to you as well. And I didn't get the listing, long story short. And I mean, as you know, Michael, I was not happy about that. I'm not even that I was happy about it. I mean, I won't even lie to the listeners. But I think the important part was I knew it wasn't going to sell at that number. And I'm just not going to take them when they're that drastically overpriced. It's going to end poorly for all parties involved.
Right.
And let it go.
Well, and I love it because we had that conversation and I said, hey, I said, Miles, you know, when one door closed, another door opens, and we had that talk. And I know you were like, and I said, don't beat yourself up over it. Right. And you said, oh my gosh, but I know. And I think what you even said on these relos, should I just start, you know, I'm getting beat by people just giving them a price. Should I just start changing my price? And I think you and I talked about it. I said, no, I said, it's not going to benefit you because it's a short game. It's a short mentality game. When you start doing that, and what you're doing is you're trying to build business off of unethical type of practices, right? And that's very short lived. Let's work on ethical practices. Let's do what you know you do well, and let's stick to what the market's telling us. And you know what? And let this one go. There's going to be another one right behind it. When this transaction, you didn't get this one, there's going to be another one tomorrow. But I think the best part of this story that I want people to hear is that you watched it. So let's kind of walk through it. So you connect with the husband. The wife wants to have a higher price, $80,000 higher, roughly. So they go ahead and they find an agent that's going to do it for them, right?
Absolutely. So they find an agent that's going to do it for them. They get it listed. And I want to give you credit for this, Michael, because you've always told me that, you know, to even when you don't get them, that's still a referral source. And it took me a long time to realize that, because I was like, they didn't choose me. I don't know how to be a referral source. But so I have actually started now, and this has paid off this year, when I don't get something or a piece of business goes a different direction, I still continue to stay in flow with my three touches a month with those people. So with this particular client, really had a great conversation with them. I knew they were going to stay local. I just enjoyed them as people. So I put them on, I kept in flow with them, put them on HomeBot, neighborhood news, home update. You know, just listed, just sold, and obviously not soliciting the list. This is just stuff we do to stay in flow. It's already listed.
Right.
But about, I watched the listing. It didn't move. Price reduction, price reduction, price reduction.
So let's be clear that everybody's listening. So the home goes on the market of what that agent said, hey, this is what I can get you, right? And it was in the expectation of the wife. And it goes on and it sits. So this is going back, probably you showed them the pond in your consultation. Where they said they've dropped into that stagnant mass, right?
Now, and that's a great segue, because he randomly emailed me. He got one of the HomeBot emails and he replied to it. And, you know, just say, hey, what's going on with the market in my area? And, you know, we went back and forth briefly, but he told me he had dropped into the stagnant mass. He had a couple showings right when it came on the market, but now it was on the market with no showings. So he had now dropped into that stagnant mass. And fast forward a couple of weeks, I get an email from the RMC saying the homeowner is...
So everybody listening, what's the RMC? Relocation?
Relocation Management Company.
Okay, perfect, okay.
Who typically will, you know, represent the seller before you start talking to them. They reached out to me and said, you know, Mr. Gardner has, you know, decided that he no longer wants to continue to work with his current listing agent, and he wanted to know if you would be willing to come back and list his property. And I
love it.
And I was like, you know, I can't say the words on the podcast, but I said, I know it's a clean podcast, but it was very satisfying, I'll say, to get that email, right? I mean, both because, you know, I really liked him as people, but also it was a testament to the fact the market doesn't lie. You know, you've always told me that, and Ninja goes through that. The market is the market. We as agents do not get to make the market. Sellers don't make the market. And the market spoke to him. And all of the, after I got that, I called him. We had a nice conversation. He apologized profusely.
So he apologized to you.
Oh, apologies. He said, you know, I'm so sorry that we did this to you. We should have just gone. We should have listened. He said, you brought us all the information. We just didn't want to hear it. And he says, now we know that all the information you gave us is correct. And we just want to apologize. And we appreciate the fact that you would still take us back after, you know, we let you go like that. I said, no, absolutely. I mean, that's why I kept in flow with you and I kept in contact. I don't take it personal. I said, but I have to uphold what I know is the marketplace. And, you know, and he goes, and he said, he appreciate that because now we know you're being truthful with us. And this time, when I went back to the house, the wife came over and she apologized. And she said, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it this time. So tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I will do everything you want me to do in the house. And they got it all, you know, set up. We're going to do photos here soon. They've got it set up great. We're going to list. Unfortunately for them, and this is, you know, somewhat telling, that market in this particular region has cooled. So I had the pond and trend graphics from my first visit and the pond and trend graphics from my current visit 2 weeks ago. Unfortunately, there's more inventory and the market has leveled off. So they are now looking at, we're going to be listing about 25,000 back from where, lower than where I was before. And of course, they definitely didn't want to hear that, but they know from previous experience that I'm only being honest with them about where the market is, and they have that level of trust that is what it is.
Well, this is interesting. So think about this. And I think for the listeners out there that are listening to our podcast that are not in real estate, but you're a potential seller, there's a lesson to be learned here. And the lesson is this, is that real estate agents don't set the market. The market does. And when they're giving you that comparative market analysis and they're laying it out in front of you and they're giving you the range, they're being honest with you with that range. And if your expectations are high, and I always say this, it's not the market that doesn't allow your house to sell. It's the decisions as a seller you have made that it inhibited your ability to sell your house. And most likely you selected an agent who was giving you the price that was not realistic. Right. It's all on you. And now the unfortunate part is even in, and by the way, Miles, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you initially had this consultation, the market was pretty hot. They could have capitalized and probably put $25,000 more in their pocket if they would have gotten in line with what you were talking about than where they are today.
Correct. I think they probably left about $20,000 to $25,000 out by not positioning the home appropriately the first pass, because right. Now they have significantly more competition and there's some new product that's come on the market, some newer builds, and they're facing a lot of competition. So now they're going to have to compete for the buyer versus the buyers competing for their home. And this definitely did not, you know, unfortunately for them, did not go in their favor.
Right. And, you know, and I think, you know, the saying we always have is the biggest mistake a seller can make in this market is leaving money on the table and chasing the market because their expectations are too high because they're looking at where it is. And even though it's a seller's market and we've got homes that are selling quickly in multiple offer situations, you know, the market is dynamic and it's changing weekly, correct?
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, anytime where I, even if I have a listing, you know, initial consultation, we come back 2-3 weeks later, I run everything again because it can shift that quickly. If more people come on the, you know, come on the market, if, you know, a comp comes through that sort of sets a, you know, a new cap, you have to look at it. And real estate is also hyper-local. You have to look at what's going on directly around that property. They can shift within 30 days in a specific area. So it's really important to look at it each time. And that's why, I mean, typically I try to stay away from the word price when I'm talking to my clients. So let's have a cooperative conversation about value. We don't have to get all into the price and everything. I want everyone to come to the table and, you know, come together and look at what the market is. I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm going to show them what's going on in the market. Then we can have a cooperative conversation about setting up that value. But, you know, it's really important that they kind of, you know, understand that you can leave money on the table by positioning the home in such a way, as you said, making a decision that causes it not to sell. Can cost you significantly more money than you may gain at that higher number.
Right. And you know, and a good point you bring up too is that for people listening who are thinking about hiring a real estate agent, there's some critical factors that you should think about. Number one, how many transactions is this agent doing on a consistent basis? I mean, Miles, you're generating a transaction a week. You're in this data every single week. You're in your marketplace every single week, analyzing the ups and the downs, the flow of what's happening in inventory and absorption rate. Number two, you have high list to sell ratios. Tell me what that means. Like what's a high list to sell ratio?
So list to sell ratio is essentially if I were to put a property in the market, what percentage of list price on average do I get for that property? And right now my list to sale price ratio is at 102.6, so 102.6%. So if I list a price or a property for 500,000, I'm going to get 102.6% of 500,000 on average. And that's kind of what we refer to as the agent metrics, which, you know, an athlete has stats, rushing yards, you know,
batting average,
et cetera. And that speaks to the athlete's, you know, historical performance in their respective sports. The agent metric speaks to the agent's historical performance in the marketplace, which is important for anybody who's going to sell a house, because it gives a strong indication of how they're going to perform for you. And, you know, that's an absolute must for any, you know, seller who might hear this. They're going to interview an agent. They need to bring those agent metrics and show you up front, because any agent can say, hey, I'm a platinum award winner and I'm the number one. And you can say whatever you want. They're all just names. I don't even know what all these things mean. But what doesn't lie are the numbers and the MLS.
Stats.
So if they say they sell and they can't sell, then they need to show it. And right. It's just three graphics they can bring to you from the MLS. And if they come without them, it's not a good start to your listening
consultation. Well, and I think the other one that's really important is days on market.
Days on market. Yep.
Right. So, right now. So if you've got high list to sell ratios and low days on market, what you're really telling me is that you perform at a faster pace. I mean, the way you price a home allows it to enhance its number of eyeballs that look at it, right? So you get competition, you do it in a shorter amount of time, and you enhance the demand, therefore going above the list price. And that's important. And so here's the thing. So these individuals that were on this relocation transaction that you initially did not get, they were not looking at any of that. They were just looking at, here's what the price that we want, and this agent says we can get it. And that's going to come back to bite you as a seller more than it will less, right? I mean, it's going to come back to get you.
It is. I mean, and I always try to help my clients to, what I usually say is, you know, position the home in such a way that it gives the property the opportunity to earn a higher number, but also position it in such a way that it won't be, you know, overlooked in the marketplace due to pricing. And you want to give it both chances, but that means you have to position it correctly. Because if you go too far, you're going to be discarded. You're going to be ignored. You're just going to sit there, become part of the stagnant mass. You know, obviously, you don't want to go necessarily too low either. You want to give the opportunity to earn that higher number, but within reason. And when you do position a home correctly on the marketplace, you will have the combination of a high list price to sell ratio and low days on market, where they got probably more money than list price, and they got it out of there in a reasonable amount of time. And I think that's really, at the end of the day, what most sellers are hoping for.
Right. Well, and to kind of wrap this up, I think for the listeners, I would say some of the key things that Miles brings to the table is, number one is, know your market, right? Know your market really well, be in the market, understand it, know the metrics. The other one is, use the tools that can articulate what's happening. So you talked about the pond, the pricing pond, which you talk a lot about in Ninja. You use the CMA tool, you use the scattergram. Those are tools you talked about, trend graphics, right, and articulating what the market is doing. And then the other one is, have confidence in your ability to understand your pricing and hold your ground, right? Don't acquiesce to a seller's crazy expectations.
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot of power in saying no. You know, it's just, I'm sorry, you guys, it's nothing against them. It's just, you know, this is not a fit, and it's not going to work out. And I think when people know that you're willing to stay that steadfast to your beliefs and where you believe the marketplace is, there's a lot of power in that. And they know that you're holding to your principles. That's typically somebody who they want to represent them.
Yep. I totally agree. Well, hey, I want to thank you for taking the time today and kind of talking this through. I think it's important for agents to hear this, because remember, don't get attached to the outcome, get attached to the relationship. And as you see, I mean, Miles got husband and wife, they're apologized to you.
Yeah, that felt real great. I'm not gonna lie, it felt great.
Right. And it built trust. You know, what you did and how you came back and how you stuck with them, it built trust, and they have trust in you. And that's what you're looking for in a transaction. More of those type of transactions are going to be a lot more pleasant to have than the ones where you're trying to jump through hoops where you know that, you know, you can't meet their expectations, but you're trying to do it anyways. And that's no fun for anybody.
No, it doesn't end well. I mean, it just, like we said about earlier, they make plans predicated on those numbers, and it doesn't happen, and it's going to fall on you.
Yep, it's going to fall on you. They're going to blame you for it. Well, hey, everyone, hopefully you found this helpful. Hey, Miles, if people want to reach out and get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Reach out to me directly. My cell phone is 951-640-7345, or my email is milesturner@windermere.com.
All right. And I want to say, Miles is a true go-giver. He's always happy to help or give advice whenever he can. He's been doing this for a while. He's highly successful at it. And I want to thank you again for taking the time today.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on.
All right, everyone. If you found this podcast helpful or good information, would you please feel free to give us a rating and also pass it on, share it with somebody. And if you have any other type of topics you'd like us to talk about, you can reach me directly at fanny@windermere.com. And we'll always end our podcast by saying, be awesome, help somebody, and make it a great day.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our podcast. We want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you found it useful or helpful, please feel free to share it and also give us a rating. Also, if you think that Windermere Coaching might be right for you, please feel free to just look us up at windermerecoaching.com. And we'll end by saying this: be awesome and help someone. Make it a great day.